Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Cerebral Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and catastrophes or whatever. I don't know, I'm running out of ideas for intros. And with me, I have...
This is officially the worst apocalypse ever. We haven't even gotten into sex demons yet. I feel ripped off.
And...
So this part of the 2020 canon now, we got Killer Hornets, like, what's next now? Like, Jesus Christ coming to, I don't know.
You know what? No. Sure. Why not at this point? Like, you know, fucking, we had fires, that was, you know, the plague, now we have fucking Murder Hornets coming to North America, apparently. Why not at this point? Just end everything already. Jesus. Can we have the war between pops and anti-pops happen so all of reality can just reset?
Still waiting on that Blu-ray box set.
Yeah.
Coming 2020 never, because Cartoon Network hates us.
It never does be said, make us have some money. Or at least have us get paid. Or at least
there's HBO Max, hopefully.
Oh yeah, we got this coming very, very soon.
Yeah.
It's May already.
By the end of the month, like the 26th, I think.
Yep.
That's just how it be. But anyway, yeah, this is episode 174, and has anyone truly lost their sanity yet from the quarantine, or are we still hanging in there?
I'm barely hanging in there, but that's just normal for me. Had a pretty fun weekend at Anime Lockdown 2020, a fun convention that had a lot of craziness happen, and also a wedding. It was wild, and I had to explain my press credentials to the people running the show, because they didn't know the gym on the east end of the building was handing them out. That was a lot of fun, but yeah, a lot of stuff there. Stay tuned for more later in the week, or by the time this comes out, it might
actually
be out.
Yeah, it's almost like there's another podcast on this website you should be listening to.
Yeah. Yeah, you should totally be doing that, because what else do you have to do nowadays? Exactly. And, it's just business as usual. Businessing as usual. Doing the whole surviving by not going out too much thing, except for, you know, food and supplies and other stuff. Because stuff is important, you know. We need stuff to live. But, you know, some stuff isn't totally necessary. Food and water, that's necessary. Haircuts, not so much. Karen.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, fucking Karen. Your shit Karen can or, wait.
Karen or Becky or Susan or whatever one of your bitches' name is.
Yeah.
Don't forget the male equivalents. Brock, Chad, and Walter.
All these friggin' white people are gonna get us all killed.
Yeah, them too. And yet, the police ain't gonna do shit about it.
No.
Niggas, get my drift.
Yeah, we just we live in a society. That's all that can be said at this point.
And those people that say Blue Lives Matter, guess what? They must be the niggas that they lie about that shit too, because they don't give a fuck about them either.
Rules for thee, but none for me.
It's almost like it was a race thing the whole time.
No, really?
Dun, dun, dun. It's a twist.
Yeah, we're all bone. The reset button isn't working anymore. It's gotta go through all these glitches in the Matrix. God damn it.
And Matrix 4 isn't even done being filmed yet. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I'm still hanging in there with this shit and all. I mean, work has been just... work, but more exhausting. And also, I'll say this. I know people need food and all, but have you ever like passed around any fast food joint and see a long ass line?
Yes, it's called Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Oh boy. Oh, that's right. They were too, like it's like around almost every place, like. Like Burger King, that place is fucking full. McDonald's, that's full. Taco Bell, of course, that's full. I mean, I wouldn't know it, but yeah, it's full. It's
never full. As full as Chick-fil-A is on any given hour. because white people.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Chick-fil-A, that other place, but yeah. Otherwise, it's just been business as usual. Just, you know, I write some more because I don't know, that's all I do whenever I'm not at work, or just not write any other stuff. But yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, I've now officially hit the point where I don't have any work hours up until the point where my job actually physically reopens. That remote work period was fun while it lasted. Anyway, now for the panic to set in. And of course, that's probably going to be delayed further because, again, all the stupid Karens with guns. You know, because they want to have the liberty to fucking get you sick because they really need their overrated cheesecake factory or whatever.
And you also have to deal with Florida Man.
Oh, that's right. Fucking Florida.
Yeah, I know there was, like, the reopening orders, but at least as far as I know, that's mostly what's the word I'm fucking looking for? Contained to, like, the northern half. Which, I gotta feel bad, because a couple of my best friends live up there. Like, for the love of God, I'm sincerely hoping no morons get them infected. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much it on my end. So now it's time to, of course, continue into the meat of this podcast, starting with the usual new song discussions. Of course, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us on all these songs and maybe find some new jams and whatnot. So starting right here at the top, as we all remember, a few months back, Suicide Silence dropped their, you know, restoration of their dignity with Become the Hunter. And now here we are months later with a B-side from that album called Overlord. And, yep, that's definitely more of that sweet, sweet, heavy, triplet, chugging Suicide Silence groovage. Bit of a Cannibal Corpse flavor to some of the riffs, especially with the blast beats and everything. It's got a little bit of a slower bridge there in the middle, but then gets right back to the chugging. And, you know, admittingly, it feels like the production here isn't as hard-hitting as something like, say, any of the singles we got from Become the Hunter, like Two Steps or something like that. But you know what? Song still slaps.
Yep, it's a pretty slap-happy song with a big message. Cults are whack, yo, especially the Heaven's Gate cults. For those of you who also know the Porcupine Tree song, Last Chance to Evacuate Planet Earth Before It Is Recycled. Although this one is much heavier than that one. Yeah, the music here is a bit more subdued in a way, with a stronger thrash feel than the usual deathcore shtick. It's got heavy and tight power chords, chugging the song along. It's a perfectly all right and serviceable Suicide Silence track. Carrying forth the message of Doe. Let's kill ourselves so we can ascend to meet the aliens. Now drink your vodka and have your, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, your sleepy time pills. As a quick PSA, do not mix heavy sedatives with any kind of alcohol. You're in for a bad time.
What the hell do those doctors and scientists know? You know, I passed sixth grade biology. Everything will be perfectly fine.
Shut up, but these people are running our country right now.
Which means maybe we can convince them to drink the alcohol and sedatives. I'm just saying. Anyway, time to move on to the exact opposite of heavy slamming deathcore shit. We got a couple of Lucy tracks here, courtesy of the jazz outfit Bad Bad, Not Good, called Goodbye Blue and Glide, parentheses, Goodbye Blue Part 2. For the first track, Goodbye Blue, oh, that's a very pretty intro. Like, guitar, maybe harp as well in there. It's kind of hard to tell from the tonality of strings, but it's a very floaty, kind of atmospheric song. The vocals, as far as the production, you know, they sort of rise and, like, swell and everything a lot. Especially once, you know, a lot of the saxophone stuff and the bells and keyboards start doing their thing as well. It sounds very nice, and the following track, you know, Glide, that one is mainly a pure instrumental that has a bit more of a driving energy to it. Like, you know, the drums have this kind of subdued production, but still with a lot of very dynamic fills and everything. The drums, the keyboards, the grooving bass, lots of those saxophones in there. A lot of the playing sounds really tight while having its dynamic nuances and everything. It's good, bad, bad, not good. It's very nice.
Yeah, I'm thinking these two tracks, like Goodbye Blue. Well, I'm gonna call it that because, like, I mean, the second was Goodbye Blue Part 2, so it must be just that all together. because it's like, cause like the first part, like, is this very more, summer feel with the vocalist, which is Jonah Yano. That's it. Like doing the vocals, and and the vocals fit well with the expectation, which was filled with this weird video. With video of them just walking in and running around this, house in the country woods or whatever the hell they're in. And then I say, like, Glide is more the finisher that gets more a tempo as it goes along, especially near the end. Like, these are two good companion tracks that hopefully, like, I don't know what they're gonna do next. I know, like, two of them did a score to a movie recently, and they released an album since 2016. I mean, I guess whatever they got planned next, I'm waiting to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, on to our next song here. So, speaking of Murder Hornets, there's a new track from the band Pup, their first since the release of their excellent 2019 album Morbid Stuff, and it's a track called Anaphylaxis, which, as the name implies, is pretty much a song that very lyrically is about getting repeatedly stung by bees and experiencing a whole lot of anaphylactic shock. I mean, I don't know if that's the only thing that sends you into anaphylactic shock, but judging from the really weird kind of Adult Swimish claymation music video, that kid seems to be having a very bad time. Especially the part where the bees consume all of his internal organs and his head explodes. So, yeah, of course it has a lot of that, like, signature, like, Pup lyrical snark and nihilism to it, while contrasting against kind of this indie slash almost vaguely hardcore punk-ish sort of thing. Hell, it has this pretty fast, like, DB intro before segueing into a lot of these really heavy, fast grooves. The guitar is having a lot of, you know, solid twang while still having some body and packing a major punch. Seriously, a lot of that drumming work just hits really goddamn hard. And, of course, it sounds like, you know, all miserable while simultaneously sounding like your usual college radio stuff. But, you know, for me, that lyrical snark puts it miles above a lot of other similar bands of that ilk. I approve. Even if, you know, I don't want to think about the Murder Hornets.
I do not recommend this song if you're prone to hypochondria or any kind of health anxiety. And the arrangement of this track more than amplifies those feelings of anxiety. It's just so frantic and in your face, and it keeps your heart racing, you know, before it peters off in the end with the sound of sirens. Sort of wee-oo, 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 wee-oo. That kind of sound.
Indeed. Fun times! Spoiler, these are not fun times. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. It's a new one from Gorillaz, apparently the latest installment of their Song Machine series. Although this one doesn't actually have, like, a proper video to it, because there's a bit of a more somber sort of tone surrounding the song's release. See, rather recently, the music world saw the passing of legendary drummer Tony Allen, a Nigerian musician who's best known for working alongside Nigerian multi-instrumentalist Fela Kuti, and more or less laying the groundwork for the Afrobeat genre as we understand it today, you know, heavily pioneering that throughout the 70s. Not to mention, on top of that, among his many other musical credits, Allen was also the drummer in Damon Albarn's other musical project, The Good, the Bad, and the Queen. So, judging from how this song basically just came out with, like, you know, a video that was just a still shot of Gorillaz waving goodbye to a picture of Tony Allen, you get the sense that this is probably a bit more personal for Albarn than most other recent Gorillaz jams. It's a track called How Far that also features verses from UK grime rapper Skepta. And as far as the sound of it, it's a pretty tight, you know, drum groove being played throughout, especially with the subtle, frequent switch-ups of the snare accentuations and everything. Of course, Skepta mainly dominates the song, spitting a lot of bars about, like, the downsides of being famous, always having to watch your back, as once it seems like you hit a certain level of notoriety, everybody is out to get you and everything. It's solid lyrically. There's also some, like, you know, guest vocal spots in here from Allen himself. So, yeah, it's a pretty damn good song. Again, another good one from the Song Machine series.
I do think the track's pretty dope. I did like how, like, I want to say that those sounds, I can't describe how it is, like, I want to say I heard it on a ice cream truck before, like, is it like, doo 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 doo, like, that sounds like, it's some one of those, what those were, ice cream truck horns, but something like that. But yeah, you got another dope song from the Gorillaz, and it goes back to their, you know, to their fallen friend with their fallen, you know, musician, and of course Captain brings some good UK bar as well. It's really, yeah, it's dope.
Yep. Now we move on to our next song here. This past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, coming from a returning act, this being the hardcore punk act Haram, with a song titled Fear of the Arabic Language. And yep, it's a song that's certainly sung in the Arabic language. So I can't really decipher the lyrics because I don't understand the hardcore screaming that well, and I don't understand Arabic. I barely understand English, but I do understand, you know, pretty banging-ass hardcore punk bangers, and this is certainly one of those. Gnarly as hell, switching between a lot of hard, slamming D-beats and a lot of rapid, pummeling snare and tom fills, with guitars grinding out these really buzzy-as-hell chord progressions, with some pretty cutting solo parts, like, closer towards the end. Of course, there's a pretty noisy-ass closing section, and not much else to add other than, yep, this is hardcore punk, it's tight as hell, it slams hard, and it's raw as shit.
Yep, I'm getting some Bad Religion meets noise rock vibes from this whole thing. It's all right. Not totally my thing, but yeah, it's all right.
And now we move on to our next track here. So we have the second single here from Haken's upcoming June 5th album, Virus. It is titled Canary Yellow, and compared to the aggressiveness of the previous single, Prosthetic, this one is definitely a lot more lighter, although I was concerned at first given that apparently they cited Radiohead as an influence on this song, and why do you have to mention that name? But thankfully, the song is a lot better than any sort of overrated, pretentious hipster garbage that Radiohead could ever put out. Come fight me, nerds. Yeah, anyway, the opening moments, yeah, throughout, like, pretty much the first 3 minutes of it, it's all, like, very light and melodic. The drum groove is very steady and delicate. The guitar work is very clean with a lot of its overlapping melodies, with some touches of, you know, chorus and, like, sort of echo effects here and there. The overwhelmingly melodic vocal delivery. And then a little bit in the middle, the synths sort of start to swell up, and there's a bit more low end entering the mix from the guitars before going into this, you know, momentary ambient bridge. But then once it hits like the final minute or so, it does bring out more of that energy from the instrumentation, which is appropriate as it syncs up with the point in the music video where the entire, by the way, this might be one of my favorite music videos this year, just because I like the idea of the classic 1950s nuclear family being completely destroyed by a bomb. Ha, take that, you know, idealized illusions of 1950s society. It's like watching Fallout by people who understand the point of Fallout. So basically any Fallout that isn't 3 or 4. Or 76. I forgot where I was going with this, but good song.
Yeah, I'm picking up a lot of those specifically mid-90s Radiohead influences at the start of the track, setting the tone. It's very downbeat and kind of morose, and I kind of like it. You don't have to be super heavy, genty all the time with Haken, and this song is a good sign of what you can do outside of that typical trapping point, so to speak. It's good. I'm ready for that album. 1 month away.
Now for our next track, and it looks like this is an album that has suffered a delay because of, you know, the thing that's been happening. So later this month, we were originally supposed to get a new project from indie noise rockers Proto Martyr called Ultimate Success Today, but the album has been delayed to July 19th, so another couple months out. We have the, apparently I missed the first single, so hey, we're catching up now. This is the second single from the album called Worm in Heaven. And compared to the straight-up blasting noise that normally characterizes what I'm used to from Proto Martyr, this one's a lot more somber and downbeat. The guitars and bass are more, you know, low-key, not just in how they're performed, but also the relative production for most of the song. The melodies and stuff are more straightforward, although there is a bit of building up in the middle that sounds more typical. The drum beat's pretty basic as hell. Everything is, you know, even the vocal performance is very, instead of being, like, very wild and wailing, it's very moody with dealing, like, with the narrator approaching, like, the pearly gates and his thoughts on death, the afterlife, and all that. Although, eventually, closer to the end, it does build into more of, like, a wall of distortion and noise that feels more characteristically Protomartyr-ish. It's okay. I mean, normally the Protomartyr I like is more that intense blasting noise, but, you know, it is what it is. If that's what they're looking to go for, I guess I'll just have to see how the bigger picture shakes out.
Well, you can put this over in the not my thing pile, because I'm not feeling much over this one bit. I gave it a try, but yeah, not my thing.
It is what it is. And speaking of things that are not my thing, for our last song here, for an album that actually is still scheduled to come out this month, we have a new project from that guy Young Lean, you know, that guy Young Lean, the cloud rap guy that I guess some people listen to. Really, Young Lean is a thing? I don't understand why. Anyway, so he's got a new album coming out May 15th called Stars, like the cable channel, not the organization from Resident Evil. And we have the lead single here called Pikachu, which, fun fact, much like Lil Uzi Vert's Sasuke, has pretty much nothing to do with the subject of the title.
Nope, lyrically. No whatsoever. Yeah,
it just literally, like, he says Pikachu in a way that kind of sounds like he's saying peek at you, you know, the most cliche-ass rhyme in the book. I'm pretty sure Young Thug did that before. Or maybe Lil Uzi Vert himself did that. One of those two rappers definitely did that trick before. And it wasn't clever then either. And, I mean, the beat is that really, like, moody, morose, like, somber, melodramatic trap beat with those chiptune synths that do at least vaguely sound like maybe they were taking from a Game Boy sound chip or something. But, like, I don't know. This is just such a nothing song. Why do we have this guy around again?
I don't know. I mean, okay, that's about, like, the beat is good, but the lyrics ain't nothing special. I mean, it's just usual shit, like, moving from Peru, yellow, black, like, look like Pikachu, okay. Stone Cold, my Stone Island's post on the roof, ooh, and, okay, and I'm guessing, I don't know why, at least I would consider it, like, what I read on Pitchfork said, the Tasha Stars is gonna feature Ariel Pink for some reason.
Oh, God, why? No, this is beneath you.
I don't know, yeah, I don't know why, but yeah, it ain't nothing special. I mean, like I said, the beat sounds nice, sounds like a good, you know, I mean, some good club rap shit, but like I said, what you saying ain't that fucking special.
No, it's not. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news. And again, it's more coronavirus shit, so stay tuned to find out what you'll be missing out on. And we're back. So, once again, we are entering a COVID-19 watch 2020. The usual cancellations, delays, and just general political stupidity that interferes and intersects with the music world. So, first up, probably the most notable tour delay rescheduling being the much-anticipated Rage Against the Machine reunion tour. The first half was initially postponed due to the outbreak, but now it's been rescheduled entirely to 2021. So, yeah, they were their dates now run from starting June 3rd, 2021 in El Paso, Texas, all the way up to August 14th and 15th in Washington, D.C., you know, 2021. Fun fact, that's the year that C-Lab 2021 happens. Something-something-hesh. But, yeah, so, apparently, as far as their touring plans, they are still scheduled to play the rescheduled Coachella dates that are happening over in October. So, you know, assuming we're all still alive by then. And, of course, they're, you know, will be honoring tickets from the 2020 tour through 2021. Although, they are trying their best to offer refunds to anybody who, you know, was asking for it, which Laura knows if that'll even happen, because the powers that be, read Ticketmaster, are giant fucking dildos.
Kind of sucks that this has to happen. But hey, the guys that race against the machine, they're smart people, and they are looking out for the health and well-being of their fans. Wish I could say the same about Motley Crue, but yeah. Go read Axel Rosenberg's take on Motley Crue and Def Leppard's planned stadium tour, pending an update on June 1st. And relish in the wonderful, and obscenity-laden musical journalism that you can expect from Metal Sucks. It's a friggin' masterpiece.
Yes, the spiciest articles there. But, you know, if freaking the powers that be aren't going to look after the well-being of the populace, like they were ever going to anyway, and, you know, they only care about lining their own pockets, it has to be, you know, the bands and artists themselves, I guess, because Lord knows people in certain states seem to be thinking very optimistically about this whole thing. God. And now we go to the state of Missouri. Now, the date we're recording this is on Monday, May 4th. But according to a recent announcement by Missouri State Governor Mike Parson, the first stage of his recovery plan for Missouri will include the return of concerts and other large gathering events starting, well, basically the day we're recording this. In the frequently asked questions section of his Show Me Strong plan, there's a question about attending events at a large venue, stadium, or attending movie theaters, responding, quote, "Yes, however, seating shall be spaced out according to social distancing requirements." He also states this approach is specifically for amusement parks and attractions, concerts, drive-ins, funerals, museums, school graduation, and weddings. How appropriate that he says funerals, because with your level of optimism, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of those.
Didn't some state, I don't know, wants to be open, they had a bunch of war cases and war deaths. What was that state again? Can y'all tell me what state did that again?
South Carolina?
Oh, yeah. Damn. And why are, okay, and maybe a bit off topic, but Why are you opening movie theaters? Most studios have pretty much postponed their releases till next year or later in the year. If you say someone had to keep this shit down, which I kind of doubt.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful case of conflict of interest because the next time I hear the whole "both sides are the same" argument, just know some states are trying not to kill their people. Others are. You can tell by who's in charge. It's that simple.
We already know which side Florida's on. In which case, bye everyone. It was nice knowing you, and don't let Mark steal any of my Baja Blast. When this whole quarantine's over, that stuff needs to stay in the fridge for posterity's sake.
Yeah.
It'll be a living monument to my existence. Because apparently it needs one of those.
Yeah. The moral of the story is, just because you can, doesn't mean they will. Remember, it's all up to local government's discretion, which is where the real power comes into play. This is what you all need to be thinking about. Think global, act local. So says Christian Slater in that one episode of My Name is Earl from 2007.
You know, I never did watch My Name is Earl.
It was... Maybe that'll be a... okay in this first couple seasons, and it got a little weird.
The way it ended was pretty much what, like, what the fuck. But
oh, one of those.
Yeah, it's more like cliffhanger than that's it. There was a bright side to that for necking community, so I'm good.
Pretty much. So, yeah, to all the people in Missouri that are actually trying to not get themselves and everyone else killed, good luck dealing with the crazies.
Yeah, just stay at home.
Yeah, speaking of coronavirus stuff, so we got one last news topic here. So remember when Record Store Day got delayed to June, like 2 months out because of the whole pandemic? Well, it has been postponed yet again. not just postponed, but also segmented. So, reminder, originally scheduled for its usual April spot, April 18th, then postponed to June 20th, now it's going to be hitting through a series of quote-unquote RSD drops. On the three scheduled dates announced, August 29th, September 26th, and October 24th, the record stores will all be receiving a different bundle of exclusive releases, attempts to bring revenue to the stores and artists and distributors and all that, throughout this whole thing. Of course, there will be a new version of the previously announced list of releases will be available June 1st, which leads me to wonder if it's going to be, like, completely revised, if it's just going to be the same list but expanded with new stuff. Who even knows? But, like, honestly, what are the odds that even this is going to be able to happen with how badly a lot of parties seem to be screwing up at containing this whole thing?
Only time will tell, I suppose, but let's try and be somewhat optimistic and say that something will happen to where we can be able to go outside again, and we'll be able to do this starting at the end of August, which, granted, 3.5 months is a long time, even if time is a social construct. But on the other hand, we have another list to talk about in a month, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be another 90%, I'm not really sure I care, versus 10%. This is unironically awesome. Actually, make that 5%. This is unironically awesome, and 5%. I'm going to buy this for the shitpost meme factor of it all. I don't know what those releases will be, but you know they'll be there, and you know I'll be getting my hands on them. Assuming I can get back to work by then, son of a bitch.
Long time away.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, there's your weekly coronavirus music industry news updates. And so we, following that, just have one more topic to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 8th, 2020. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from the Airborne Toxic Event with Hollywood Park. Unfortunate timing for a band with that name to be releasing a new album. Sorry.
Oh boy.
We have a new project from musician Mark Lanegan with Straight Songs of Sorrow. The much-anticipated debut solo album from Paramore's Hayley Williams with Petals for Armor. Kalani with a new project, It Was Good Until It Wasn't, previously released through his own storefront but hitting streaming services this Friday. The newest album from rapper Ka with Descendants of Cain, and last but certainly not least, the newest project from vaporwave producer Fire Tools with Rainbow Bridge. Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
First, a PSA. Support your local record stores, like what I'm doing with Lunchbox Records here in Charlotte, because I bought the Dream Theater single and that Steven Wilson EP I never got in the mail. Rob?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have to actually go to the post office.
I bought it anyway. Anyway, as always, Aura of Azure, where I post stuff regularly and irregularly, because I'm weird like that.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, Mentavid Media on Twitter, my site, mindhabit1@habitnumberpress.com. I might post something this week. I don't know. Depends on how I feel.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat @RobBarracuda. You can email me, Robert@CerebralResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified when new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @CerebralReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit us at CerebralResolution.com for this podcast, podcast O&A, and written articles. All that good shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can, shit post really, really spicy memes and whatnot. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We, of course, got the next album roundup coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. And until next time, man, why did that one fucking Power Trip song have to become the reality of 2020? I'm just kidding.